Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Sunday Roast. I'm Phil Carroll.
And I'm Kevin Holmes.
It's May the 7th, and we're coming to you live and direct from New York City. What a busy week it's been, Kev, as we visited Ben's Creek operations 1 year on from the first visit, and here we are again. We'll have more on what we observed in a short while, but before that, should we just take a look at the week's news?
Yeah, just finally stopped travelling after 5 days.
Time to decompress a bit now, isn't it? It feels, it does get to you after a while, is travelling, but yeah, it's been very enjoyable. So what have we had this week? Obviously in the UK, Labour and the Lib Dems have made gains at the expense of the Conservatives in England's local elections. Labour won control in Swindon, Plymouth, Medway and Stoke-on-Trent, while the Lib Dems took control of five councils from the Conservatives, including Windsor and Maidenhead. This marks the first significant test of Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's electoral popularity. The Conservatives have lost control of 40 councils so far, with external factors such as the cost of living crisis and NHS issues contributing to their losses. What do you make of it? I think we talked about it earlier, didn't we, on the train, that it's kind of the local election seems to be a vote of, just almost like a, well, what is it? It's just a revolt, isn't it?
Yeah, I think people are quite willing to penalise a government that's in power during the local elections, but will it be replicated in the general election? Who knows, really? I mean, I think we're 2 years away from a general election anyway, we're not. 2025, I think
Labour will get in. I think that everyone's had enough of the Conservatives, and especially after Liz and her mini budget. I think that was the final nail in the coffin, and I genuinely think people want a change. Now, will that change be better for the country? I'm not convinced it will be. I'm not sure that Keir has got leadership material, but what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I would suggest that if Labour actually can do the things that they want to do without actually spending ridiculous quantities of money, then I'm all for it. I think, it needs to be levelled up, but the way they level it up normally means that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, not the other way around. So, I don't know, it's almost an impossible. Is politics broken? Yes, is my answer.
I think a lot of things are. Next story, one very close to us here. A video deposition of former US President Donald Trump in his civil rape trial has been released, showing him mistaking his accuser, E. Jean Carroll, for his ex-wife, Marla Maples, in a photo. Trump denies Carroll's allegations, claiming she's not my type. Both sides have rested their cases, and Trump has not been present in New York for the trial. Carroll, a writer and advice columnist, is suing Trump for battery and defamation over his denials of the incident. Trump has until Sunday afternoon to decide if he will testify in person. Phil, the knives are out for Trump at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, completely. I mean, he's obviously not been a particularly pleasant individual through his life, but he's obviously, if he wasn't in this position of power, there's no way these things would be coming up to try and take him down, I think. So, it's not good. What can you say? Can't really say much, can you?
Is he untouchable, though, do you think? Do you think he'll ever be brought to trial for the insurrection that happened, which could potentially have caused a civil war in the US?
Yeah, I think, I doubt it.
A very interesting chat with a guy in a bar in DC, and he was vehement that most of the Washington locals were very much Democrats and opposed to it, which was interesting. And he thought that if Trump got in again, he would be somehow removed from office, because he just can't be trusted with national secrets, was his response after what they found at his Tampa home.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows what to believe and what the situation is? It's a bizarre place and a bizarre country. You know, it really is. When you see we were in Philadelphia this week, weren't we? And there was people sleeping on the grates because the steam was coming up from the underground, and the same in New York to a point. And then we were in Charleston, West Virginia, and there is extreme poverty there as well. You know, so it's the haves and the have-nots. It really is. The difference between the society here is really quite stark, I think.
Yeah. And then I guess on to some more positive news. London was abuzz yesterday as hundreds of thousands lined the streets to witness the coronation of King Charles. A golden carriage made its way through the city, with crowds eager to catch a glimpse of the new monarch. Are you a royalist?
I'm not an anti-royalist.
That's not what I asked.
And it was very much for the Queen. So if you want to say I'm a royalist because of that, yes. Do I have the same thoughts or affections or loyalty towards Charles? I think the answer is no.
So we move on to the Benns Creek visit. I mean, what were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think we just saw a mine in operation, didn't we? The last time we saw a mine coming together and things were being put together, and but this time we really did see a mine, you know, in full operation and about to swing into even more, but not significantly more, even with the second high wall miner, because the first high wall miner has been producing 40 to 50,000 tons a month anyway. So they're going to go up maybe another 20, 30,000 tons to get to this million, because it won't produce more than a million. Adam was pretty adamant about that. It was like, it's a million pound or a million ton production facility.
Yeah.
And if it goes bigger than that, you're going to have to invest a lot more money to make it structurally available for that. But its length or its longevity, quite obviously, there for the next 20 to 30 years, I think, without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah, it was very interesting. It's come a long way, hasn't it, since our last? I mean, considering that we were there in May of last year, pretty much to the day, and the first train had not let, you know, they hadn't actually started shipping the training out the coal, had they? The first train had not actually been to site.
That's right. And the other thing was noticeable was there's just a hell of a lot more staff there. I mean, there's 94 or 95 staff, I think, in Benns Creek. Last year, there was a lot of people there, but not as many as that. And certainly, a lot of them were contractors, whereas now, nearly everybody except for the high wall miner people are employees of Benns Creek. So, yeah, that was a big change as well. The train loader is obviously all sorted out now, and they're weighing the stuff incredibly quickly. So it's a finished product.
Breaking records as well for how quickly that Luther can get the wash coal onto the trains.
Yeah, from what he was saying, he was filling a train, one carriage of the train, in something crazy like 45 seconds, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, with however many tons that is. And
I think they were doing 11,000 tons, the full train, is something. The record was 2 hours and 19 minutes, wasn't it? That was what he relayed to us in that sort of meeting room. So very impressive. Yeah. And I think he said before that he was taking something like 6 to 7 hours. So it's been about 60, 70% in decrease in the time it takes. So, I mean, what we did is we took some voice recordings on site, and I think you'd be very interested in hearing these. So here goes.
So here we are, site of the high wall miner, this area two, let's call it. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the seams here, Adam?
Yeah, so this is the original high wall miner that you saw last year. It's now on the new area. As you can see, plenty of bench area. You can see where it's moving, see the holes it's drilled. You can now see, different from the previous section, you can now see where the other seams are. You can see them in the wall very clearly. So there are five seams, including a seam below us here, where we're going to the second high wall miner. It's even clearer that you can see. So that to move from a single section, one seam, to two sections with five seams each. So we should easily be able to make the 70 to 80,000 tons of clean coal that we're targeting. One miner currently is doing 40,000 clean tons a month, as evidenced by shipping the, you saw the production pile of 40,000, you saw the ship that we filled, or the announcement on Arcelor. So we are there now. It's taken a long time in getting there. We talked endlessly about the delay in the second high wall miner. We're about to go and see it in place and just about to start work. So now we should easily move to the 70 to 80,000 tons of production, which is about the maximum we want to run here in terms of getting trains in a month, in hitting a ship. It's about the maximum for a ship is about 70 to 80,000 Panamax ship.
So one thing I'm noticing, Adam, is a lot of new shiny equipment on site. And I believe that as per the RNS many months ago now, that the old equipment under contract was costing you about $1 million a month.
Yeah, even slightly more, actually. And of course, they're rebuilding their fleet on my dollars. But we needed to do that to start with. You know, it was a young company, young project. So as we've grown, we've moved to around the time we got the second permit, around 27th of September, we moved the contractor out at Thanksgiving, which is the end of November, and we put our own fleet in. So we've got about a $25 million fleet, largely financed with the $6 million equity raise we did at the same time. We bought new equipment, very hard to source. That allows us much more flexibility to run two high wall miners on two shifts a day. The previous contractor wasn't able to do that. So all of that's good news, and that fleet is on a amortization schedule, so that once it does sort of 15,000 hours, we've paid down enough of it to have the deposit for the second set of equipment that comes in. So it's a program to last us 20 years.
So we've just pulled up in the Jeeps now at the next benching section, and shock horror, there is a rather shiny yellow second high wall miner, which is not producing right now, but it's ready to go. So everything is in place, and production should be coming off this very shortly. We've waited a long time for this. There's been a lot of messing about because the other high wall miner was not able to produce, but this is one of the best producing high wall miners that the company has, that they have now leased to Ben's Creek.
And you can see it's fully assembled. That was the key.
Fully assembled and ready to go onto the bench. So all the benching is ready.
And you can see all the benching. You see all the different seams that it's got to choose from. So they're much different from last time. We only had one seam, and it's just about to come up here, and Larkin will take us through each of the different seams.
Yeah, and that'll be good, because Larkin explained to us in the office about the length of time of the seams just on here, and we're talking about 50 miles of coal, which was around 20 million tons. So even on the benchings that's already done, we're talking about between 15 and 20 years of production. So really, things have changed.
Let's go and dig some coal out the wall with our bare hands.
At this sort of removable sequence level, we'll mine the B out in that corner. We'll hop up on this level, we'll mine the A in the entirety. There's six panels in this area.
Yep. That's what you just dug out with your hands.
We'll move the equipment off, go from the sea level, which is the lowest seam out beyond where we would bump into a deep mine underneath this ridge, where they backstacked this to create this deep mine before. We'll advance the sea, drop the miner off to the sea, and when the miner's on the sea, we'll turn and take off on the tanker, head it back to where the other side is, take all the haul out and bring it back into here. So we'll go B, A, C, back to B, back to A, go back to B, then drop to C again. And then we start laying the top of the mountain over and getting the upper two zones.
And you can see the other upper seams, right? So you understand how it's gone from one seam to five.
And with the ratios and the voids that we create are spoiled, where we're not allowed to use valley fields like we used to, what we'll do is we'll backtrack and we'll cut from the lower upper cedar grove to the lower, and we'll take the mine pillar blocks out and cast in the open void. We'll just relieve that with yardage after we've mined the lower three zones out. And then we'll bring a miner back and we'll hit all of the upper cedar grove on areas where they didn't deep mine. This thing will be going on for a good 4 or 5 years.
And obviously one of the issues we had previously is if one of the miners goes down, and obviously it's cutting rock, can easily go down, we had to wait for it to be fixed before producing coal. And the plant sitting there idle because there's not enough coal to run through. With two miners, you know, you're cutting in half the chance that there's damage to both miners.
Mitigating the risk,
completely. And then you've got a buffer that's an added plus with this property, because you've got a consistent product from your underground where you've got some blends that will be coming in with the change of the qualities, where you can steady the quality all across the board, but just like making a cake.
Yeah, blending, yeah.
And remember, we're selling a single product, the Ben's Creek coal. We don't sell A, B, hard coking coal, PCI, like most companies. We're only selling one product.
We paint your graphics of quality to make one Ben's Creek quality.
Branded as Ben's Creek coal. Sold then to the best. That's the whole company's ethos. High quality. We don't want to be the biggest producer.
Sure, you could do this, yeah.
So I'm here with Larkin, and just I want you to repeat what you were talking to us about earlier, Larkin, just about the benches that you've already set up and the five different areas of coal and how much coal is involved in this.
Well, in the entire operation that we have outside the scope of the interior mine number one that we're working at this point and developing, there's 43 miles of contour of five seams, one stacked right on top of the other, just like a layer cake. You have from the Alma benches to the lower and the upper Cedar Grove benches, they are seams above the benches that we're not engaged in at this point in time. We're concentrating on the base areas at this point.
building the infrastructures we carry going forward outward, close proximity to the mine, where we're washing and processing our tons. At 43 miles, there's probably in the entirety of what we control on this side of Benz Creek and what we have looked at to be able to control, there's over 20, 22 years of mining in here on the process we have, if we don't get above the benches or below the benches. Now, that's just from the standpoint of highwall mining or surface mining. In the Almas and the upper and lower Cedar Groves, which is all of Met B quality.
So this will all finish long after you've passed away?
Oh, yeah, this will be going long after I'm gone. I mean, at 70-year-old, yeah, this is going to be going long after I'm gone.
You're not resigning on me, Larkin. I'm expecting you
to be. I'm not going to live 90. Forever either.
I disrespected you there, Larkin, because you will live to your 90s for sure.
I doubt.
So, Luther, tell us just a little bit about the new loading system and the way the stuff's weighed and how quickly you've been managing to fill the trains.
We implemented a new scale system that tells us the weight of each car or each train at the end of it. And with the two dozers going in the stockpile, the faster the dozers can get, the faster we can load the car. And usually 3 hours or less, we can put a 100 car train out.
It's 11,000 tons.
Yeah, 11,000 tons per order, you know, per 100 cars.
And before this system, how long did it take to do this?
Before we got that in, it was taking us load time somewhere between 6 and 7 hours.
Okay, so you've reduced it by 60%, basically.
At least 60%.
Okay, well, and in terms of other people in West Virginia, how fast is this that you're now doing?
I'm going to say in West Virginia, this would be the fastest loadout right now. I've worked at three different ones. This one is by far the fastest in West Virginia.
Congratulations.
Okay, so moving on to the markets, what's been on your radar this week? What's been the bigger movers and the shakers?
Yeah, I haven't really been watching because I've been away and traveling all the time, obviously. I'm in a different time zone, so it was a bit weird waking up in the market. It was already 3 hours into the market or 2 hours into the market. But there have been some movers, haven't they? You know, good old Simi did 110% this week. They finally got a monetization thing away in real life. I think it actually physically happened. So maybe this turning.
Maybe it's a turning point. Yeah,
it's finished at what, 0.1, is it, or something?
0.1. Yeah.
You know, so still a long way from the heady days of 0.8, 0.9 that it reached a couple of years ago, and obviously serious amount of shares in issue now compared to what there was.
56 billion shares in issue, which is a lot, isn't it? So
even a 1 to 10 on that would still leave you with 5.6 billion shares. So it's like you got to think there's going to be some sort of reduction there, because that's a crazy amount of shares.
Okay, what else has been on there this week? I mean, I saw a couple of RNSs that I think the first one I want to mention was Myriad Advertising, and it's been on my radar for a while. They're very low market cap. But they announced a collaboration with Microsoft that will allow greater connectivity for advertisers using Myriad's programmatic advertising offering. Collaboration will see Myriad's new API help facilitate their fusion technology, deliver dynamic insertions by advertisers. And the stocks rose from around the sort of 2 pence mark, and I think they went up to the 5s, 4.5. They finished the day around the 3.8, with a market cap of 11.2. So that was good to see. And obviously with a small company like that announcing a collaboration with Microsoft, that's big news.
I haven't looked into it, but I mean, any sort of income from that's going to be phenomenal, you would imagine.
Alba, what about Alba? One we've talked about before, the old Welsh goal, what did you make of its delays?
Yeah, I didn't really look at it, so I can't comment, to be honest. The two that I did look at were Kendrick Resources, which seemed to have great nickel results in the boreholes that they actually advised on. They haven't actually given them all out yet, but the ones that they have are extremely good. And so Kendrick, and you know, very low market cap, £3 million, and if they hit the type of nickel and quantity of nickel there, then you've got to think that that's, you know, way under the radar, like seriously. Yeah. Under the radar, and there's been a few things there that have come out and there being good news, and yet the share price hasn't really done anything. You know, even on Friday with Ben's Creek saying that the second high wall miner was there and you know, going to start producing coal, still, you know, it was damn squib, what, 4% or something, you know. The other one that had good results with lithium was Aterian. They came out with their financials and got a bit hammered, but then basically Aterian came out with some lithium results, and all looks very promising in Rwanda and in Morocco. And again, 8 million market capitalization. But the thing that interests me is the chairman here, Charles Bray, I think it is. He's a commodity trader by nature. And effectively, this company is not just an exploration company. It's going to be a trading company. And that is the thing that actually excites me about this stuff. Because, you know, you think about companies like Glencore, who make huge sums of money from the trading of the stuff. So they bring the stuff in, they trade on it by upgrading it and then trade it and make the margin, you know, so they don't actually have to mine that stuff. I'm quite intrigued by that one. And I think that one and Kendrick, I think I've got a lot of mileage in them.
Yeah, indeed. One that moved well this week was Fox Marble. I think we've talked about them on the show before. I think they're up about 50% on the week. They were actually suspended, and they restored trading back on AIM on Tuesday of last week. I think there was some sort of reorganization and presentation. But if you look at some of it's some of the news on the financials, but their large group have secured an order book of 140 million euros over the next 3 years for two development construction companies in the Balkans. So it looks quite exciting. And they've got this this litigation deal as well, I believe, which has been going on. It's a Kosovan litigation. So could that one come good in the end? I don't know, but certainly with an order book of 140 million euros and a market cap of 6.5 million pounds, it looks like it could be interesting.
Yeah, no, I think it will be quite interesting. I think the company that they're talking to now is Fox Marble itself has got itself a deal, I think. And at the same time, these construction companies that they've taken over in modular construction all looked very interesting, I have to say.
Yeah, Ondo had a good week as well, didn't it? Up to the 15p mark after a slight drop back. That looks quite exciting as well.
Yeah. I mean, it looks primed to go, doesn't it, as it expands through America, which would be very, very interesting. So just to recap on the sort of stocks of the week, if you like, or the bargain of the week, we chose Alchemy 2 weeks ago, I think it was, in and around, I think, 160, 170. Has risen to as high as 250 since then. Yeah, finished on Friday at 215. I think, you know, they're obviously got finance news to come at some point, but when it does come, I think, you know, that could be catapulted. Obviously, delays are going to maybe prevent that from happening, but we will see. So my bargain stock this week coming up, again, another one that seems to be under the radar, and it's got results coming for the leach test in the rare earths in Kazakhstan, which basically is a replica of the clays that are in China, where they get these rare earth metals, which they use in magnets and all of quite a few other different uses. So, you know, you got Eastar Resources, 5.3 million market cap, has a copper resource, not an exploration, a copper resource. And if these leaching results are good, the potential on the rare earth is like magnificent. Like, I mean, truly groundbreaking in terms of change, you know, going from a 5 million market cap to who knows what. So I just think that is very well priced at the minute. They brought the financials out. They've got enough cash to keep them going for at least the rest of this year. And, you know, let's see what happens.
Good. Markets in general, what did you make of Friday close? Because I know the FTSE was up a point whatever percent. It was around 7.778. What about the US markets?
Well, effectively, I think the UK markets closed and then the non-farm payroll things came out in the US, and everybody was like jumping for joy because that basically meant that a lot more jobs were taken on board. So, you know, NASDAQ, S&P, Dow, all up. NASDAQ was up over 2%. But more importantly, the VIX, sort of the S&P 500 VIX, which is the sort of way that they look at how much volatility is going to be in the market, it dropped nearly 15% on Friday afternoon, down to 17 again. And they're basically saying anything under around the 20 mark should see a level market with an opportunity then to continue to grow because there's less volatility there.
Yeah, I saw early on Friday that sterling hit a one-year high of $1.2634. And obviously, the pound climbed as trouble in the US banking sector weighed on the greenback, which is obviously, as you just alluded to. So, yeah, certainly good if you're visiting, happen to be in the US right now.
Yeah, yeah. It means, mind you, nothing's cheap. I just had a piece of pizza and a drink, and it cost me $16. So
we are in, I said to you before, the world's most expensive city. It's joint with Singapore, and I know Singapore, I've been there a few times, and that is prohibitively expensive. But honestly, New York now is just absolutely ridiculous to do anything. You know, going out, yeah. Even a coffee's $8 for a takeaway coffee. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, no, it's not good, really, is it, either, because you feel like constrained in what you do. I mean, obviously the pound, I mean, I'd never been to America with a pound or even 120, 125 if it was this time.
Can you imagine, are you near when it dropped to the almost parity?
Yeah, crazy. No, I mean, when I was here a number of years ago, it was over $2, you know, $2 to the pound, and everything was cheap. You know, you used to go to the fast food place and think, wow, it's really cheap. But that hasn't been about for a while. So we have just received our package that Chill Brad has kindly sent us. So we've got some vapes there.
Test that in tonight or something, or?
Yeah, yeah. So we'll be trying out the vapes here from Chill Brands and sticking some photographs up, so you'll be able to see what's going on over the weekend there in terms of we'll try and take some vapes to some interesting places around New York. There you go.
Well, I'm off to Billy Joel tonight. I managed to get a ticket, so I'm looking forward to that in Madison Square Gardens. Never seen him before, always liked his music. I'm sure I know he's getting on a bit now, but I'm hoping that he can deliver a good performance. He's got a residency there, I think, but he's on once a month. He can't manage like every night.
Good.
Well, on that note, catching up next week, and we'll be back home in our respective countries and give you some more updates. Thanks for listening.
Yep, thanks for listening, and we'll be speaking to you sooner than you think.
Take care.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.